successful military systems are complicated networks which involve assembling really very different elements in a single and, from the point of view of a military planner, hopefully coherent whole. Different societies adopt completely different attitudes to this. In the West, pretty rapidly, military systems become big machines. Military planners dream of mechanical regularity and rational technical control. And in very large areas, that's actually achieved by the 18th and 19th century. And it seems to me that's a big distinction between Eastern and Western military cultures. So in the West, the system of artillery is treated in countries like France or the German states as a vast, complicated, mechanical structure. And the human beings who fit into that, the people who make the guns and fire them and run them, are treated as so many machine components. Still very skillful, but they're highly mechanized. I think the big contrast with the Eastern tradition is that in the East, the military elements are still pretty artisanal. Individual artisans make and own the tools of their trade, even if that trade is killing. And that difference, the gap between the massive mechanization of the military system and the maintenance of a relatively conservative artisan tradition, I think begins to explain the broadening gap between Western and Eastern military systems and economic systems. Big puzzles that military commanders and engineers had to solve was maintaining the whole of the military system during war, repairs, maintenance, supplies, and so on. The standard Western solution by the 17th and 18th century was to appropriate the whole of the hardware as the property of the army itself. So you had weapons issued, standardized as far as they could be, and they could be repaired and maintained in the field. And by the 18th and 19th century, over immense distances and for really large periods of time. So you have very long campaigns fought over very large areas of territory. Whereas the more traditional forms of warfare, such as those which are maintained in the East, saw weapons as the personal property of their user, and it was expected that their users would actually repair their own weapons, so that each individual soldier, as it were, was his own little workshop, and he had to carry with him his own tools, and he owned his own equipment. Now that's a really significant contrast in two kinds of military culture, and what it leads to eventually is not just the mechanization of war, but the overwhelming professionalization of war. And it's the interaction between standardized parts, professional soldiers, and the ownership of all the means of production and distribution by a single authority, which I think picks out this modern Western military system. Big problem for military science is always coordination, not just coordinating soldiers, troops on the battlefield and during the long campaigns, but perhaps even more importantly, coordinating the extremely heterogeneous elements that have to be pulled together to make military equipment and make it work. I mean, for example, in the case of guns, where you need to pull together metal workers and gun founders with people who make gunpowder, and you do this by pulling together in standardized, regularized, controlled sites. These are the big industrial centers of the West. And in country after country, what we see is that major sites of innovation, like at the Venice Arsenal, for example, pull together vast numbers of different trades in the same place under central surveillance, so that huge numbers of human beings, let alone their tools, can be seen as components of a single powerful machine. And I think one of the big sources for Western attitudes to the machine as the ideal type of social organization is exactly that, this massive political experience, military experience, of mechanizing production under regular, rational, coordinated government. It's the arsenals of the West that drive the machine philosophy along.